Welcome back. Michael Ryan Thomas. It's For the Love of Food. It's SaveYourLife.com. And, well, it's spring, officially spring. And Oneida Eagle Crest Vineyards had a nice post this morning about spring. They said, amidst all the ongoing chaos, today affords us all a perfect balance between day and night as we usher in the spring solstice. We set our intentions today on a warm, dry spring for the vineyards and farms and for all who have cabin fever after a classic winter season retreat. Hooray! The tasting room is open today and Sunday from noon to 5. Plenty of indoor and outdoor seating options. Stock up before summer with 30% off cases and mixed cases today in person and online at purewineonline.com. And a couple of months ago, I went down and got a case of their Cabernet Franc, and I got to go down and get another one because we are pretty much done with that. It just at its regular price, it's a delicious wine and a nice value. At 30% off for a case, it is a steal. And I hope you can get down there. It's a beautiful drive, and Hemlock Lake is pristine. It's like you're in northern Canada because there are no cottages. It's really a remarkable lake, and you should stop and see it while you're there. There is sort of a trail down to it from the winery, but it's relatively steep, not an easy trail at all, and you'd have to ask Will and Lisa if it makes sense to try it or not, because it's, you know, in the woods like that, it may still be somewhat icy. I don't know, but you can certainly access the north end of the lake very easily, and combine it with your visit to Eagle Crest Oneida Vineyards. Just a fascinating historic winery, and started in 1872. It's an amazing story. And while you're in that area, try to get to the Cornerstone Market, which I think is a Honeyway address, but it's not that far from Oneida Eagle Crest Vineyards, and they have some wonderful sandwiches and some excellent pastries and things there. So a couple of places to visit and a beautiful day to just get out and drive around a little. If you don't feel comfortable doing indoor tastings, it'll be warm enough to do outdoor tastings there at Eagle Crest Oneida very easily, or just pick up some wine to bring home. It's a remarkable place, and if you've never been there, it's a place you need to visit, and I think you'll really enjoy the wines too. So Will, the owner winemaker, has been very active over the last decade in protecting the Finger Lakes from a number of environmental or potential environmental catastrophes, gas storage in Seneca Lake, the trash incinerator in Romulus, the landfill in Seneca Falls. I mean, this long list of things that are mainly actually centered on Seneca Lake, it so happens. And you might think that Hemlock Lake is far to the west and really not affected by, you know, a trash incinerator on Seneca Lake, but Will Band that has been built over decades, over a century, in our region, and doesn't, you know, sees the fate of his winery as tied up with the Finger Lakes brand. So he's spent, I would say, easily far more time on these environmental issues than any other winery in the Finger Lakes. And he's one of the smallest wineries in the Finger Lakes. So he was also involved in working to get the fracking ban in New York City, and New York State, I mean. And definitely a huge advocate for our region and another reason to go down and visit and taste their wine and bring some home. So again, 30% off cases and mixed cases is a tremendous bargain. And I hope you're able to get down there this weekend or next weekend. But beautiful weather today and tomorrow, up near in the 50s. It's just going to feel lovely to have the sun and such warm temperatures. And yesterday, went to visit a couple of wineries. Was down at a Billsboro winery to pick up a mixed case of wine and join their wine club. Also wanted to get their dry rosé because they did a virtual tasting of it last night on Facebook Live. And Vinny and Kim Alaperti, two of the nicest people that you'd run into, and stalwarts in the wine industry of the Finger Lakes. Vinny's was a longtime winemaker at Atwater before they purchased Billsboro, and now have had Billsboro for about 15 years, somewhere in that range. So you should. And by the way, they had the Albarino in stock, the only winery producing that currently in the Finger Lakes, Albarino white, dry white wine, which I picked up a bottle of because I'm looking forward to tasting it. And then the wine club members have access to purchase some wines that are in small quantities and occasionally older wines. So I got a 2016 Syrah, and as well as their current vintage of Syrah. That might be fun to taste here in the near future. And then went down to Torrey Run. And this is Cayuga Lake, but really not far from Seneca and from Billsboro to Torrey Run. It was all of 35 minutes, I think. Just back up through Geneva and across the north end of Seneca Lake and then down toward Ovid and over to Cayuga Lake to Route 89. And Torrey Run is going to be rebranded. It was purchased by Buttonwood Grove a couple of years ago now, I think, and they are selling out their Torrey Run wines. So they have all of them for $10 a bottle, and they have quite a range of wines. There's a Gruner Veltliner, and the Cabernet Franc was my favorite. They also had a Reserve Pinot Noir. I got some of those. They had a fairly oaky Chardonnay, and a couple different Rieslings, a dessert, late harvest Riesling, and a Bordeaux blend called the Fiesta Dry Red. And then a couple sweeter wines and a sangria, and they're just selling out the stock. So you should go down and taste. I didn't check whether they're open 7 days a week, but they certainly are open on weekends, and they were open yesterday. And taste through their wines, and they again, $10 a bottle while they last, which. You may be able to have them shipped to you also, but yeah, the weather's just pretty. It's an hour and 15 minutes to get there from Rochester to Torrey Run. So they've taken down the bowl that was there. Again, it's going to be rebranded. And talked to their winemaker, Ian Barry, who was there. He said that they're going to focus on Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. They're just in the process of clearing an area to plant more Pinot Noir. They have a stunning view of Cayuga Lake, up fairly high, and just a great view looking out toward the north end of Cayuga Lake. And so you should, again, taste the wines and see which ones to stock up on, but $10 a bottle is it's an awfully good deal. And Sebastian from Domaine Le Sueur was their winemaker, or at least consulting winemaker. So they had some excellent wines. And the Chardonnay was maybe more oaky than I like, but that might be perfect for what you like. They also had a dry rosé. The Pinot Noir was very light in color and sort of light, delicate in flavor. So I got a couple of those. That maybe that'll turn out to be your favorite there. Maybe something else. But again, it's only going to be a couple of weeks as they sell out of these wines at those prices. And if you're going down just for the Cabernet Franc or just for one of these wines, I would call first to see what they have left. But they thought there would be another potentially a couple weeks of a number of these varieties. So again, that's the west side of Cayuga Lake. You should stop at Knapp Vineyards while you're down that way. Maybe visit Goose Watch. Sheldrake Point has some fabulous wines, and I've got to get back down that way because Sheldrake Point has some older vintages, library vintages that are in their tasting room, and I didn't have time to stop yesterday, but I'd love to get some of those older vintages. They're hard to find, and I haven't saved them. I don't have a cellar of older Finger Lakes wines, so I try and take advantage of these situations, and Red Newt sometimes has library wines, Standing Stone sometimes does vertical tastings, but it's unusual to have as many as Sheldrake does right now, I think. I'll be back down that way probably this next week. Again, gorgeous weather to see. The lakes are so blue. The grass is just starting to turn green. The rain we had, maybe I'll help with that. The forsythia and things will be blooming in another, probably a month. But the warm days that are coming, probably not a problem for the vineyards. It's going to be weather in the 60s, but still some pretty cool nighttime temperatures, and that's crucial in keeping the buds from opening too soon. Certainly don't want the buds opening in March, but cool nights will hopefully hold that process back a little, even though the days are relatively warm. A few years ago, I think it was 2012, we had 80 degree temperatures in March for a week. That was horrible news for orchards and vineyards. That is just way too early to start spring. So 5 days in the 60s is potential trouble, but again, cool nights will hopefully keep the vines from starting to open. And of course, it's the cold lakes that really help. And Vinnie Alaperdi was talking about this, and it's, you can look them up on Facebook, Billsboro Winery, the cold lakes moderate the temperatures. So when we have a warm day, in the 60s in March, it's going to be significantly cooler near the lake and on those lake shores. And so that helps keep the grapes from waking up too early. I visited a couple of bakeries on my way down to visit the wineries yesterday, and stopped in Manchester to visit Fluffing Feathers and see what they had. They do pieces of a frosted banana cake that's really delicious. They have lots of different things that they make there. That's on Main Street in Manchester. And then I took a different route to go visit a Felco Shears outlet I talked about in the gardening show. So I was following GPS, which I sometimes do partly just to take a different route, even though it might be a minute or two longer or 5 minutes longer. It took me through downtown Shortsville, which I'm not sure I've ever driven through downtown Shortsville because it's not on the main route south to the wineries. If I take if I get off the Manchester exit and go straight south, you know, that then I it takes you through Shortsville, but not downtown Shortsville, which is a small downtown, but it has some cool old buildings and shops, and there's a bakery there, Sweet Blessings, cutout cookies and more, and a really nice bakery, and they've been there for, I think they said 13 years, which I should have just looked that up on Facebook or something instead of asking them, because I looked pretty silly when I say, you know, how long have you been here? Because I just never taken that route through Shortsville. So that's a reason to take different routes. That's a reason to explore these small towns around our area and these little bakeries, often some delicious things and nice people. I got a little cinnamon roll and a cinnamon scone from Sweet Blessings. So, and those two bakeries are really quite close to each other. Fluffy and Feathers is brand new. They're just like a year old. So the people in Manchester, Shortsville have a couple of options for nice bakeries. And you know, that's what small towns need, is sort of bakeries, you know, sort of small shops that help to anchor the downtowns of, you know, that are often just a block long, you know, and pretty much all of them are struggling to fill their shops and, you know, and fill the storefronts. The pandemic just makes that worse, but it was a problem and a struggle before that. So try and go out of your way to visit some of these small towns, and you know, if nothing else, go in search of the bakeries like these, and let me know when you run into some that maybe you haven't heard me mention. And you know, Manchester is maybe half an hour from Rochester, something like that. So pretty easy to get to. Warfields in Clifton Springs also has a bakery in the restaurant. So you had another bakery to visit on your travels. But one thing that I was thinking about, you know, I've done this occasionally with donuts or other pastries. I'll put them in the microwave for like 10 seconds, 15 seconds maybe. And it warms, you know, microwaves warm things from the inside out. So it kind of gives the sense of, you know, something warm from the oven without changing the texture of it. You know, if you leave something in the microwave, a baked good in the microwave too long, it changes the texture completely and can become really chewy and just, you know, can ruin things. So, but this is just like 10, 15 seconds, depending on what it is, how big it is, how dense it is. It's really, I think, changes these baked goods immensely. And so I guess my dream is that some of these bakeries would have things warm from the oven at specific times, and then you could go down and, you know, the cinnamon roll would be just out of the oven, and they put some frosting on it and hand it to you. That cinnamon roll is going to be 10 times better than just a cold cinnamon roll that's been there, room temperature cinnamon roll. You know, the cinnamon scone that I had was really good, but it was room temperature scone, and I don't have a microwave in my car, and I'm certainly not going to ask them if they have a microwave or if they put it back in the oven to warm it up for me. I mean, I'm not going to ask them to do that. But you know, I've said this before, Krispy Kreme had a brilliant idea with serving warm donuts. And their donuts, when they were room temperature, were average at best. But served warm, they were really delicious, I thought. And again, donut shops, pastry shops, bakeries, no one serves these warm. You occasionally run into something that's just out of the oven, and I'll, more often than not, I'll ask if there's anything that's just come out of the oven. And I did that at Flower City Bread Company a few years ago, and their almond croissants were just out of the oven and still warm. And you know, I love their croissants at room temperature, but these were, you know, like some kind of gourmet dessert just out of the oven. I mean, it was a whole different product right out of the oven. So you can't you know, have that warm out of the oven for many things at one time, because it's just, you know, logistically not possible. But at some point, maybe if I ask enough, although that hasn't helped with anyone making any popovers, if we ask enough, bakeries will do some sort of posting. I mean, they could post on a social media that the cinnamon rolls just came out. And, you know, if you live close by, or if you're in that area, maybe you go get them. Is it, make it worthwhile for them to post it on Facebook or, you know, Instagram? I don't know. But I think in the future it's going to happen. Just because these pastries and things are so much better when they're warm. And there's really no other way to do that other than, you know, having a microwave in your car or bringing it home and putting it in a microwave, which I often do. You know, when I had that warm almond croissant at Flower City Bread Company, I was eating it as I was driving away down Union Street from the public market, and I turned around and came back and got another one, because and I was tempted to get six more, but that would have been ridiculous. They were just so spectacular, still warm. And they have my favorite almond croissant I've had anywhere at room temperature, but when you have it warm, it is just outrageously good. And then the other thing is I got also an eclair, which I keep trying them just in case, but that's another one where if a bakery could, you know, bring the eclair pastry out and then have it still warm somehow, you know, again at 10 a.m. in the morning, I don't know, they try to time it for that, and then fill it, and then you could buy it, you know, like a couple minutes later, that would be a whole different eclair. And I've had eclairs at, you know, probably 10 different bakeries over the last few years, last 5 years. I don't have them that often, but I'll occasionally try them, and just hoping that they'll be better. And they're good. They're just not wonderful. And they need the pastry to be warm. And I haven't tried putting an eclair in the microwave. I'm not sure the results would be great. Partly it's the interaction of the filling with the pastry. So if you run into a bakery or that's doing something like this, or just start asking when you go in, you know, is there anything that's come out of the oven recently? I don't think they're not going to think you're nuts. I hope not. And it's not an annoying question, I don't think. And I understand they probably can't schedule it. So I actually asked Donuts Delight many years ago under the previous owners, you know, can you just bring the chocolate glazed donuts out at a specific time each day once, you know, at least 9 a.m. chocolate glazed donuts come out of the oven, you know, within a couple minutes of that. It doesn't have to be, you know, to the second, but, you know, enough so that you could go over there at 9:05 and the donuts would, those chocolate glazed donuts would still be warm. They're just outrageously good. I ran into, by accident, they happened to be warm and I happened to order them and it's like, it was a whole different donut, warm from the oven. So, yeah, let me know if you run into this, but ask. And the more people that ask, more likely some bakery owner is going to say, you know, maybe I should like post this or time this or something. I mean, I understand it's hard to time it because of all the other things that you're baking, and the, you know, different orders that you have, you know, that have different baking times that vary every day. And, you know, so I completely understand that it probably doesn't make sense to have your almond croissants come out at 9 a.m. every day. But just post it when they do. And I'll be watching social media for those posts. I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Wiggins at Amazing Grains does this at some point. He's doing a large volume there, but really high-quality pastries. I was in there just a couple days ago, and he seems like, you know, if someone's going to do it, he might be the one that at least posts what they've just pulled out of the oven. So I'll let you know if I hear of any, and let me know if you run into some that do this. It's such a difference in the taste, the flavor, the texture, the smell, to have them warm. It's just a completely different product. Edible Finger Lakes just came out with their new issue. We'll talk about it more in the next hour and discover the Finger Lakes, featuring kombucha, Silver Thread Vineyards, and Brett Holland, one of the premier chefs in the Finger Lakes, has a recipe and sort of a column on some seasonal ingredients. So Edible Finger Lakes, new issue is out. Get a subscription. They are generally free, but you have to find them. You'll find them at some of the advertisers. Get a subscription. I think it's $36 for a year, and they have some wonderful photography, some great articles, and you'll be introduced to things that you probably haven't heard about. Finger Lakes is such a big area. The kombucha article has a number of different producers, including Katbucha from Rochester, that they write about, it's a fantastic publication. So ediblefingerlakes.com for more information. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes, talk a little bit more about the new issue, and also tomorrow it's the Grapevine here at saverlife.com. Happy first day of spring.